There you go.
Okay, so I want to talk tonight about the Nachash and Hanukkah, about the snake and Hanukkah, because actually it does connect, and it's going to serve as a prelude to the shiur, which we should have had last night but didn't. So there's a fascinating, there are a few very fascinating sources. The first one is the Sfas Emes on Parshas Miketz. The Sfas Emes quotes his grandfather, the Chiddush Arim, and he quotes a pasuk in Daniel. A pasuk in Daniel talks about the Yakasei Din Nechosh, this great beast which had the size of a snake. So on this great beast, it says, Chazal tell us that it corresponds to Yavon, corresponds to Greece. And why is that? What's the connection? So the Sfas Emes says a beautiful, the name of Chiddush Arim says a beautiful thing. He says that the notion of Yavon, its main thrust was to prevent from Bnei Yisrael the power to be mode, to thank and to acknowledge and thank, and to be korea, to bow down to Hashem. And now Chazal, this dovetails with what Chazal tell us, that somebody who's not korea b'modim for 7 years, if a person doesn't bow down and modim for 7 years, then his spine becomes a snake. Now, just to finish what the Sfas Emes comes back, it says, and to come back to explain a little bit more, and he says, and therefore, when they were successful in Hanukkah, they made a special takana to add al hanisim in the bracha of modim, an additional hodah. So what does this mean? So it seems that the Greeks had this notion of, they were the first to come up with this notion of deism. Even the Greeks who were somewhat monotheist, as opposed to the pagan Greeks, they had this notion that God does not interact directly with the world. And therefore, there's no certainly there's no acknowledging relationship with God, and therefore there's no need to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for anything. If you don't have a relationship with him, then obviously you don't thank him for anything. So the whole concept of Hodah to Hashem was what the Greeks were trying to eliminate. And I think that this is, when it says that the Greeks said that the Jews should write on a horn of a cow, Ein lechem chelek b'elokei Yisrael, that you have no portion in the God of Israel. So what Chazal were saying is that, not that they completely asked the Jews to disbelieve in God, but rather they have no chelek, there's no direct, unique portion which Christ has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no unique quality which they have. Now, this relates to the Nachash, because the Nachash, his main drive was to convince Adam and Chava that they have no beholdenness, they have no acknowledgement necessary which they have to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All they can be independent of him, not subservient to him, and certainly not be dependent in any way, shape, or form. You're going to be like God on your own. So the notion of Hanukkah is to oppose that. Now, this is why Chazal say that somebody who doesn't bow down for 7 years by modim, his spine turns into a snake. Of course, it doesn't literally turn into a snake. But what it means is that his entire stature is that of a snake, meaning that which denies the need to acknowledge and be thankful for anything. So that's the first connection to between Hanukkah and the snake, the Nachash, again, because the Nachash and Yavon attempt to get man and Kliyosar respectively to deny the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not to deny Hashem's existence, but to deny the relationship. And that is, in fact, the notion of Hellenism, which existed during the time of Bais Sheni, was not to deny the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but to deny the relationship, which was as depicted by the Prushim, by the Pharisees, who were far more into that bond which we have with Hashem. So that's what you have come. That's what Hanukkah comes to do, to fortify our hodah, our acknowledgement and thanks of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the first source. That's the Sfas Emes. Now we have also, besides the Sfas Emes, there's a Preet Tzadik, Reb Tzadik. Reb Tzadik is also Parshas Mikates, Simon Gimel. Can nobody hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, because somebody just wrote that they can't hear me. Okay, I don't know what's what happened to them. You can hear me the whole time, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, I'm not sure where this other person got cut off. I guess that's him again. Hello? Hello? Ron? No, he left the conference. Okay. Anyway, I'm going to go on. So, I'll just join the conference again. Okay, so Reb Tzadik says about Parshas Mikates that the Zohar HaKadosh and the Medrash Rabbah both say at the beginning of Parshas Mikates that this Parsha is connected to the Pasuk which says, Kates Sam Lachoshach. Hashem put an end to darkness. Mikates means at the end, and Kates Sam Lachoshach means the end of darkness. And the Zohar HaKadosh elaborates. The Zohar says that there's a stumbling block, and there is darkness, and there is a fog, and this stumbling block and darkness and fog is all created by the Yetzer Hara. Now, what does that mean? Stumbling block, darkness, and fog. So Reb Tzadik says, the primary pursuit of the Yetzer Hara is to cause a person to forget. And there's a lot of places where in Tanakh it talks about that Ram Levavcha v'shachachta Hashem, your heart is going to be haughty and you're going to forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Vayoyim Shekach Tishkach, if you forget Hashem, what's going to happen to you? So, and the Gemara in Nedarim says that at the time of the Yetzer Hara is being active, lace the matkalei the Yetzer Tov. Nobody can recall the Yetzer Tov. The Yetzer Hara is so powerful at that time that nobody can recall the Yetzer Tov at that time. So says Reb Tzadik, that fog and that darkness and that stumbling block means that there is a mental block, which is the nature of the Yetzer Hara. The Chazal, which I'm surprised it sort of doesn't quote here, which says, "Ein adam chayte ela b'hesach hadas." The person only sins as a result of getting distracted. And that distraction is forgetfulness, forgetting the goal, the purpose, what we're here for. Moreover, Chazal also say that a person is not chayte elenke nichnas bo ruach shtus. A person only sins if he has a spirit of stupidity, which he picks up. The spirit of stupidity also, shtus is a language of sota, to veer away, to go off the path. In other words, that you stumbled into a fog, you stumbled into darkness, and now you're stuck. You can't go further. So he says that the choshech, in fact, the same letters of ha choshech, I don't know what I had to put on the hey, but ha choshech is the same letters as shikha, as forgetting. You can also do choshach and shachach. But darkness and forgetfulness, those are related concepts. The whole essence of darkness is forgetfulness. Now, here in our parasha, Vayhi Kates, it became, here Yosef made an end to darkness. Obviously, whatever he did during those 2 years, he was working on himself in order to work on his bitachon, and then Hashem came finally to his rescue. He was working to eradicate his Yetzer Hara and put a case to that choshech, which he had previously. And the choshech was a lack of bitachon, a lack of trust in Hashem. Somebody who trusts in Hashem, somebody has bitachon, they don't have to have, I'm sorry, they're not in darkness. being in darkness, being confused, being in a fog, is a direct correlation to not having enough bitachon. You can't perceive Hashem, so you don't trust Him. That's why you're in the darkness. Now, it says in Tzadik, concerning Yavon, concerning Greece, it says in, that they are alluded to in the pasuk of the Choshech al Pnei Tehom. It's a medrash that the Choshech al Pnei Tehom refers to the Greeks, and it says that Yavon shichshicho einayim shel Yisrael. They wanted to darken the eyes of Klal Yisrael. In other words, the Klal Yisrael should not have that perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And, he goes on and says, they wanted to cast back into the Jews the pollution of the Nachash, the pollution of the serpent, the original serpent. And, of course, that's why Parash Mikra usually comes out of Hanukkah, because it's Hanukkah alludes to the light of Torah Shabbat Peh, which comes to dissipate the darkness of Choshech. So, Reb Tzadok says that this banishing of darkness is directly related to the Midah of Yosef HaTzadik. And it says, or is a rule of Tzadik, a light is planted for a Tzadik. Why? Because a person who strives to be a Tzadik gets, through Siyata Dishmaya, this connection with the original light, which was hidden for those people who were going to be involved in Torah Shabbat Peh. So Meir Tanchuma, that the original light, which was created and put into Geniza, was then given to those people who were toiling in Torah Shabbat Peh. So what happens is that the Nachash is the original instigator of Taiva, of desire, of lust. As a result of his arguments with Chava, Batera, she saw that the eighth was a Tavo Leinayim. It was desirous to rise. It's the first time it says Taiva, desire. And this Taiva is darkening. It confuses. It distorts. And that's another point of the Nachash. To confuse and distort is to call and create that fog is the way in which, by getting you to forget, it separates between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hanukkah comes in conjunction with Parashas Miketz, because the way to fight that is with the Midah of Tzadik. A Tzadik is somebody who fights his Yetzer. Now it's interesting. With Chava and with Adam, at least with Adam, I'm not sure about Chava for a moment, but at least with Adam, he didn't fight the Yetzer Hara. It's at least not recorded in Chumash that he fought for it. It just says that Chava gave him from the fruit and he ate. So if that's the case, perhaps if Adam HaRishon had fought with the Yetzer Hara, had fought with the Nachash, as opposed to just giving in without a fight, even though he lost in the end, even were he to have lost in the end, he had that Midah of Tzadik. He would have had that Midah of Tzadik, and that Midah of Tzadik would have given him the capacity to avoid the punishment which he ultimately got, the punishment of being banished from Gan Eden. Perhaps, again, the Midah of Tzadik, you know, Tzadik is no fel v'kam. Tzadik falls and the Tzadik gets up again. So it's quite possible for a Tzadik to be somebody who fights and doesn't succeed, but it still doesn't impede that person from enjoying the light, which comes from the Midah of Tzadik as opposed to the success of not sinning. But that means you have to fight. You have to try and get through that bad fog and try and battle through the darkness and try not to stumble, or if you stumble, to immediately get up. Otherwise, you don't have that light. So the Nachash, the reason why I say I'm not sure about Chava is because Chava, initially she said, no, we can't eat from the tree. Maybe there was some sort of resistance there. But there was no resistance on the part of Adam. Nothing. So since there was no resistance on the part of Adam, so therefore, since that's the case, it seems that that's why they did not have the capacity to remain in Gan Eden. That's why they were not called, they didn't have the Midah of Tzadik, and that's why ultimately they lost their Chelek Gan Eden. So now, Hanukkah again comes to tell us, a little bit of light banishes a lot of the darkness. Even a little bit of fighting a Yetzer Hara is able to eliminate that darkness which is imposed by the Nachash. I want to say something else about the word Nachash. The word Nachash also means in Hebrew, Lenachesh means to guess. Guessing is something you do when you're confused. It's not educated, and it's not an educated assumption. It's pure guesswork. So, again, the Nachash, when we say a person is emulating the Nachash, he is somebody who is not actually doing something which is determined and is purposeful, but rather is pure guesswork. Now, going further, just going to finish in a few minutes. I want to engage in a little bit of creative gematria. The Nachash is in gematria 358. The 358th pasuk in the Torah is Vayomer Melech Sdom el Avram, Tein li hanefesh v'rechush kach loch. The king of Sdom said to Avram, you give me the souls and you keep the property. This is after they waged the war and Avram Avinu conquered the armies of Kedar LaOmer, and they got back all the loot and they got back the people taken captive. So the king of Sdom says, you take the soul, give me the soul and you take the property. And Avram Avinu says, no, I'm not going to take anything. We'll come to that pasuk in a minute. But says the Alshech in Shmos, says that where he speaks about the redemption, says that when they went out Rechush Gadol, when they left Egypt, it says they went out with Rechush Gadol, a big amount of property. Now, it's not grammatically, it's not the right way to phrase it. The right way to phrase it would be Berchush Rav, much property, not Rechush Gadol, big property. Big property doesn't really make sense in this context. So, he says like this. He says, at the time they left Egypt, they ceased to be in effect the pollution of the serpent regarding that property, and regarding them, in the Bnei Yisrael, in order that they should merit receiving the Torah, and of course receiving prophecy in order to receive the Torah. And therefore, it says Rechush Gadol instead of Rechush Rav, to tell us that they were about to achieve the level of Gadol, as it says, Kimi Goy Gadol, who is this great nation who heard Hashem at Har Sinai? That's why Moshe Rabbeinu calls them Gadol. And as Avraham Avinu says, that's called a Goy Gadol. So Rechush and Gadol are associated because Gadol is the quality of Am Yisrael. And this greatness, of course, we know in Kabbalah that Gadol has to do with Chesed. Using the Rechush in the proper way. Using the Rechush in the way in which it's supposed to be used and not misusing it, not abusing it. So now, what happens with the king of Sdom? King of Sdom comes and he says, you take the Rechush. Give me the souls. This, by the way, is what the Yetzer always says. The Yetzer says, I'll give you riches. I'll give you property. Don't worry about your soul. Just your soul is not important. The property is what's important. You keep the property. And of course, that's what causes us to forget our souls and to be over averus. But besides that, the Balei Machshava all say that the property of a person is affected by the quality of that person. And that's why Yaakov went back for the small jugs, right? Because his qualities were in that, and they were an extension of himself. And vice versa, in this case, the property which comes from Arusha has a rishus attached to it, has a negative quality attached to it. And in this case, the Rechush of Sdom has this quality of the Nachash, has the quality of Sodom, which was to ignore and oppose HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So So what the King of Sodom is saying, when he says, take the rechush, in essence, it says, trying to bribe Avraham Avinu, in a sense. He's trying to say, again, on a metaphorical level, it's not necessarily pshat and pasuk, but the Nachash says, take the rechush. And that rechush, if you take it, that's a mistake. Because it seems like you're allowed to, and you are allowed to, koita alocha. But, like it says in Devarim, Vayishman Yishurin Vayivot, because when you get too fat, too much engaged in luxuries, too much engaged in things which are, like it says in, by the fruit of the tree, Tavole Naim, Mechmada Eitz Laskil, so then, that is the weapon the Nachash uses in order to get you to forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order not to get you not to acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not to be Makir Tov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything he does for you. You know, one of the big things in the eighth is that we always think about what we're missing, and then it appeases HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Hashem. But we are supposed to really focus on what we have, and acknowledge and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that. So that pasuk is the Nachash pasuk. The pasuk which says, again, that the King of Sodom says to Avraham Avinu, Tein li hanefesh v'rechush kach lach. Give me the souls, and you take the property. But I think there's more than that. You could say it like this a little bit, which is that, like Sarsev Darshehu, the King of Sodom says to Avraham Avinu, Harachush kach loch. Take the property, tainly and nefesh, and then you're going to give me your soul. That's what the Nachash does. But in any event, now, two psukim later, Avraham Avinu says, im yichut v'atzroch now. I'm not going to take from a string unto a shoelace. And so you should say, I enriched Avraham Avinu. Now, Reb Tzadik on Hanukkah says an amazing thing. He says, we have Chazal tell us, the Ner Chanukah is supposed to be on the left side of the door and the mezuzah on the right side of the door. So the She'iltos of Rabbi Chaigon, which is one of the earliest halachic works we possess, there's a different girsa. It says the mezuzah of the Ner Chanukah is on the left and the mezuzah is on the right and the Baal Bayis is wearing his talis with tzitzis is in the middle. And the Mario, one of the a little bit later, one of the later Rishonim says that this is that in order to allude to the pasuk v'chuta meshulash lo b'meri not lo meri not take the triple stranded string will not be snapped so easily. So the string has two meanings. It's the true three strands of the mezuzah and the Hanukkah candles and the tzitzis, and it's the strands of the tzitzis themselves. The Gemara itself says, anybody who has tefillin on his head, Gemara Menachos, tefillin on his head and tefillin on his arm, a tzitzis in his clothing, and a mezuzah on his door, we can assume he's not going to sin. Because it's like chutam, again, the chutam meshulash, tefillin, tzitzis, and mezuzah. Okay, now, the Reb Tzadik says, wait a minute, tefillin and tzitzis, here it doesn't mention tefillin, even the shiltas, but tzitzis as well, they're only during the day. There's no mitzvah tzitzis at night. And the mitzvah Ner Chanukah is at night. Right? So what's going on here? How are the time of the tzitzis get connected to Ner Chanukah? The time of Hanukkah, Ner Hanukkah, as a speck, there's a suffix, of course, the banish mushrooms, but generally speaking, the time of Hanukkah is not the time of Halukkah, Ner Hanukkah, it's not the time of Tzitzis, and vice versa. So he says that, nevertheless, there's a remez here, and he goes into some detail about that. I'm not going to go into detail now, but he says the three mitzvahs I mentioned, Hanukkah, Mezuzah, and Tzitzis, have to do with the three avos. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And the tzitzis, is, the quality of tzitzis, of course, is to remember. Right? And to remember, it says, Laman Tizkaru. And that, of course, there's a famous Gemara Menachos about the fellow who's going to go do an Avera with a prostitute, and his tzitzis came and started banging him on his face. And then he did tshuva. So, the tzitzit comes to remind, the opposite of the nachash, which comes to cause forgetfulness, which comes to make you forget. And by remembering, you do all the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yitzim Osoz, Chaytem, Eskom, Mitzvos Hashem. And says the Tzaddik, this capacity to remember has to do with Teresh Baal Peh, because Teresh B'Ksav is something which you don't have to remember. It's there. It's a solid, so to speak, thing. It's written down. But this, the Teresh Baal Peh, requires engaging the mind because it has to be remembered. Your memory has to be at work. So then, as I said, he says that how works correspondence with Avos, but Chanukah, for our purposes, Chanukah is the notion, the Torah Baal Peh, which is in the memory of Klal Yisrael, which allows us to have a memory of remembrance, which in turn the tzitzis is the simen, is the symbol of. And he says an amazing thing. He says there's a pasuk which says by Purim, v'yimei Purim ha'el lo yavu mitachudim v'zichrom lo yosef mizaram, the days of Purim will never cease, and it says kol modos asim lizbatel except for Purim, or kol megillos asim lizbatel chutz megillos Esther. So then it's interesting, he says that the Tzaddik brings down that in Megillas Tainus, it says that all the other times will be canceled except for Chanukah and Purim. Not just Purim, but also Chanukah. So he says, what's the unique quality of Chanukah? So Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, its unique quality is Pirsuma Nisa. Pirsuma Nisa is the reason why it can't be forgotten, because it's done in order to publicize. The publicity of Chanukah is, in essence, another tool by which we ensure the Torah is not going to be forgotten. And even though Kosh Baruch promised us that the Torah won't be absolutely forgotten, of course, there are levels of forgetfulness. And besides, we're supposed to make Ha'ishtavlus. And therefore, by the nace of Chanukah, with the Or of Teresh Baal Peh, we have the capacity to remember. And therefore, the Nes of Chanukah was able to last throughout the Golus, till now, despite the fact that all the other Yom Tovim of equal stature, which are Megillas Tainus, are null and void for many, many years. Again, except for Chanukah and Purim. So that's the idea, is this spark of Teresh Baal Peh. Now, first comes out an interesting chumrah. Interesting chumrah is that even though you light menorah at night, you have to wear tzitzis when you light the menorah, because the connection between the zechira, which comes through the Neros Chanukah, and the zechira, which comes through the tzitzis. What does that pasuk have to do with Chanukah? That pasuk is with Chanukah because that's the 360th pasuk in the Torah. Now, how many candles do we light on Chanukah? Throughout Chanukah, if we do, like the Mahadran, not counting the Shamash, we have 36. So 36 times 10, of course, that's one of the things we're allowed to do because there's 10 spheros. So a shleimus of 36 times 10 is 360. So
wait, where did you get the 10 from?
The 10 spheros. So it's any time something is done in perfection, it's done in units of 10, right? So So that's how I got the 360. I really should have looked up to see if there are more connections between Chanukah and 360, but I forgot to do that. But I think that's good. That's pretty good. That 36 is even if it's a multiple of 36, 360, and 36 is the number of candles. So when Avraham Avinu says, "I'm not going to take," so he's alluding to Chazal say that the chut is the mitzvah of tzitzis, and the tzroch is the tefillin. The strap is the tefillin. So Avraham Avinu was saying, if I take your property, it's going to forget and cause me to forget. That's like the nachash. So therefore, I am not going to take anything from you. None of the, and not even strings. And Mita Keneged Mita, Avraham Avinu was given the gift of strings, of tzitzis. And the tzitzis connects to the Ner Chanukah, because the tzitzis is supposed to provoke us to tap into our memories where the Teresh Baal Peh is lodged. Now, there's one other thing which I want to say, which I didn't see anywhere, and I'm certainly not rhapsodic here, but I think that there's a connection between the fact that Avraham Avinu in this pasuk mentions chutz and tzroch, which are these long and slithering ropes, and the nachash. Avraham Avinu is saying, you're trying to entice me with a snake-like quality of forgetfulness, of lack of cognition of Hashem, lack of da'at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that I'm not taking these things and I'm going to express it by mentioning these slithering things which allude to the snake. And therefore, we were given mitzvahs, tzitzis, tefillin, and Hanukkah, which are allow us to be able to overcome the power of the nachash. Okay, I think that's it for tonight. Thank you very much for joining.
Definitely.
Okay, go to. Bye-bye.
Okay.
And the recording...